Hear these words from Paul to the Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to speak with you this morning on the subject, redeeming the times. And I will tell you at the outset here that the phrase comes from the King James Version translation of the first clause of verse 16 from our lesson from the book of Ephesians. We read this morning the New Revised Version translation, which says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time." But in this case, I prefer the old authorized version of the text, which says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." When you Google verse 16 just to see what is out there, you find a whole lot of sermons about making the most of, not wasting, and soundly stewarding whatever time we have on this earth. It's all good and helpful, Ben Franklin kind of advice, applicable to everyone. But I don't think it actually gets quite at what is the original meaning of the Christian message here in the book of Ephesians. In biblical Greek, they had two words for the concept of time. The first is chronos, which deals with chronological clock or calendar time. It's the time we all have in equal measure and is made up of 60 minutes, 24 hours, and 365 days. This is the time we want to make the most of, and it's the time we pray that the preacher won't waste too much of. For as William Sloan Coffin said, nobody gets saved after 20 minutes. That'll get an amen even at Broadway. But then there is another Greek word for time in the Bible, and that word is kairos. Kairos is the appointed time. It's pregnant time. It's the time, as Thomas Paine said, which tries men's souls, and it is the time into which we have been born and for which we are to act to redeem. The late great preacher and spiritual leader Carlton Pearson said that that word redeem in the authorized version is essential for understanding the meaning of this text in its proper context. Redemption implies victimization. It implies harm done, harm for which redemption or reclamation must be achieved. I think that this is where the caution against drunkenness comes in this text. When you first read the text, the admonition against excessive alcohol consumption seems to sort of come out of nowhere. At first, to me, it feels like those tisk-tisk Christian preachers some of us grew up with who were always slipping in soliloquies on the evil of alcohol, tobacco, and horror of horrors, dancing. So much so that Grady Nutt used to say he had to transfer from Wayland Baptist University to Baylor University simply because he wanted to dance. At Baylor, he said he couldn't dance, but he could want to. And I can tell you, as the son of a liquor store owner, those moralizing sermons never sounded much like gospel to me. After all, didn't Jesus turn the water into wine? Yet somehow we Baptist preachers keep turning it into Welch's. And poor Toy this morning had the children's sermon, which mentions both drunkenness and debauchery. I think there's a reason why the other pastors went out of town. But something more, I think, than moralizing is going on here. Remember that according to the book of Ephesians, something evil has struck the times. People have been traumatized, and they've themselves traumatized. And one way we humans have learned to deal with the feelings that come with guilt and trauma is to numb them through the abuse of substances. We drink ourselves into a stupor, and we drug ourselves out of our memories and our minds. But the writer of Ephesians speaks of another way of dealing with these feelings. He writes of escape, not escapism, the Holy Spirit of deliverance, not the unholy spirits of drunkenness and dissipation. To me, what the writer is trying to tell us is that there is a way out in Christ. One does not have to be simply stuck as either a victim or a victimizer. With God's help, we can do something to redeem ourselves. With God, we can work to free ourselves from evil and bondage. With the Spirit of Christ inside of us, we can still save our tomorrows if we are willing to make the most of our todays. In practical terms, this means to me, it's Kairos time for that hard conversation. It's Kairos time for that action. It's Kairos time for direct action and demonstration. It's Kairos time for rescue and benefaction. It's Kairos time to act as agents along with God for the purposes of our own redemption. I'm thinking of our children this morning. Most of them started back to school this past week, and we prayed over them, blessed their backpacks, and we kissed the youngest of them goodbye on their foreheads. Yet we still, even to this day, do not have the political will to truly guarantee their safety in our schools. We still have too many guns and too many bullets on the streets, and again we are told it isn't time to make a change, or even the right time to talk about making a change. Well, when will be the time? When will the Kairos come? As the psalmist asks, how long? Or think about this world which these children are going to inherit. How hot? How long and how hot must it be before we are willing to take action on climate change? When will the Kairos time come? When will we work to redeem the time? When will we decide it is finally time to seize the day? I sat for years here in gun and oil country in complete silence on these things. But the time comes. The time comes when one must speak and act, and the time is now. Many of us have read and cherished Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail in which he confronted white moderate gradualism and took head on the question, how long? In the letter, he quoted a white Texan who had written to him and said these words, "All Christians know that the colored people will receive equal rights eventually. But it is possible that you are in too great a religious hurry. It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has. The teachings of Christ take time to come to earth." I think I know who that Texan was. I may have been his pastor at another time in his life. Dr. King's letter was, in essence, a direct refutation of that kind of misguided justification for further delay and obstruction. "Do not be confused about time," Dr. King said. "It is not on our side. Time is neutral. It's like the ground on a battlefield. It can be taken, it can be taken back, and it can be taken again. Therefore," he said, "progress is never just a given. It never rolls in on wheels of inevitability, but it comes through the tireless efforts of men and women willing to be co-workers with God." And without this hard work, he said, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of social stagnation. We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do right. I'll quote William Sloan Coffin once again. He used to say, "It's easier to be guilty than it is to be responsible." And to that, I would add that it's often easier to remain a passive participant in our own victimization than it is to become an active agent in our own liberation. We have, and our children have, only one life to live. 60, 10 more maybe if they are strong, and that is all we have. And if that time has been taken from us, then we, well, need to take it back. If the times have been taken by evil, then we are called to do what we can to take it back for the good. Dr. King and the writer of Ephesians remind us that our lives are frankly our responsibility. and that God has given to us in the Spirit of Christ a power that can redeem the times if we are willing. And as the words of the prophet say, lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another sailing or life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother seeing, shall take heart again. What I'm saying this morning, beloved, is this. Seize the day. Make the most of your years. Press your footprints into the sands of time. And rise up. Rise up and be a part of the redeeming of this age. For the days are in the clutch of evil. Therefore, the time is indeed ripe to do what is right. It always is. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,